Welcome to the Heather Andrews Show, here to show you how our choices today do affect other people, our kids, our relationships, our careers, and businesses, which cause generational impact. You will hear from guests and experts from around the world. She's here to help you follow through on the it to live a stellar life. And now, here's your host, Heather Andrews.
Welcome everyone to our show. We're so excited to have you here. Today we have Awilda Gonzalez-Reyes speaking with us about how not to let your past define who you are, but really embrace those lessons that you've learned throughout your life. As it doesn't matter what age you are, that you can actually redefine what you want your life to be like and be that generational shifter that she is. Awilda is a Puerto Rican poet and writer, and she's got an awesome background in mental health within the women and workforce development. She's a single mom to older children now, and two amazing, beautiful boys, grandbabies. She's dedicated to her career in the social community, facilitating youth and adults to become the reliant individuals and achieving the goals for their lives. Welcome, Awilda. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, Heather, for having me. I'm very happy to be here too.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you're a generational shifter. I love that concept.
So generational shifter. So that is something that I'm new to. I definitely would have never thought that I was a generational shifter, just because, you know, sometimes we think that our life is going to go a certain way and we think that we have it all together, and then bam, something happens and we have to shift our whole life. So a generational shifter is actually someone who's actually older. I just happily and very proudly turned 50, and I raised all of my kids already, so I'm also an empty nester. And after some time of kind of going through a really rough time, after some grieving and some deaths in my family, I found myself kind of having to start all over, because I thought my life was going a certain direction, and you know, the typical, or not typical, but what some people would think is normal of being married and raising a family and raising your grandchildren and things like that. And for me, it's a little bit different. My path has been a little bit different, and I've had to redefine who I am as an older woman, as a single older woman who has already raised her children, and kind of looking at my past experiences and looking at my experiences work-wise, really, and how can I take those and move myself in a different direction, not to continue to do the same thing that I've been doing for the last 50 years, because I plan to live another 50 years and I want my next 50 years to be amazing.
That's awesome. So I know you and I have talked a lot about what the lessons that we've learned and how we've become the women that we are today and how we've modeled that for our children. So one of the things, being from, you know, like a different culture, mm-hmm. what are some of the myths that, you know, we're told as little girls, and what have you found are the, like, some of the differences? Because I know you've studied this a lot and I would love to hear your insight.
Yes, definitely. So culturally, you know, I am Puerto Rican. I was raised by a two-parent household. My parents migrated from Puerto Rico in 1965 to Chicago, Illinois. So they come from very humble beginnings. You know, they're from the mountain side of Puerto Rico, so it would be very countryside, and they really didn't really have a lot of, you know, formal education. They both went to sixth grade. So back in the day when they were growing up, obviously it was a different lifestyle than coming to the United States. But that didn't change their way of thinking, right? So in the Latino culture, really, it's not just even in the Puerto Rican culture. Sometimes in the Latino culture, when you come from parents who are older, their framework and the way that they think is very different. You know, so women are taught to you know, that you have to learn how to cook and clean and become a woman, because if you don't know how to cook and clean, then how are you going to find a husband? So education really is not a thing that's kind of like really driven in our minds. It's not something that, you know, is really told from a little girl, like, oh, you can go to school and do whatever you want and become whoever you want. Sometimes that doesn't happen a lot. With us older women in the Latino culture, it's driven that, you know, we have to have children, we have to have a husband, you know, and that everything that we do has to come around, go around our children and our husband. And womanhood actually starts at the moment that, you know, you get your first menstrual period. And sometimes that is traumatizing because, you know, at 9, 10, 11, 12, you're seen as this woman and you just really want to play with dolls, right? So it's like very interesting to see how that is. So that's one of the bigger myths that it's drilled in our heads that, you know, you can be like 9, 10, 11 and you're seen as this woman that you have to cook and clean, and that's how you're being trained as a really young girl, you know. And you know, coming from that background with my parents being that way, but also living here in the United States where I see other girls and their way of living is a little bit different. It was always a conflict, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, that I had to kind of like break that myth and be like, you know, no, and raise my daughters in a different way. So definitely that has been something that I have shifted. Another one of the myths that, you know, that is that the only way that you are accomplished in this world, you know, is that you have to be married, you know, that you have to have a husband, that you have to have children, you know. So those were things that were kind of driven in my head as I was growing up. And, you know, those were things that I had to actually kind of rewire myself in thinking after, you know, going through a lot of different things in my life.
Right on. And so how are your daughters different, say, than some of their friends?
Oh, okay. So my daughters are very, I've taught my daughters to be really strong young ladies. I have a 27-year-old and I have a 28-year-old and a 25-year-old. And they both are very strong. They're strong-minded. They have, you know, they know what their goals are. You know, one of them is a mother and she has a, you know, partner and they have a beautiful life, but that wasn't until recently, you know, in our culture, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, some of us become moms very young. I became a mom at 19, but my daughter, you know, she just had her baby 2 years ago. So she's only been a mom since she was like 25, 27, 26. And my youngest daughter, definitely, her mindset is totally different. Her mindset is like, I'm 25 and I have a career and I'm living my life and I want to do so many other things before I even start thinking about getting married or having a husband or anything. And she doesn't define herself as, you know, if I don't have a husband or a child, then I'm not being successful in my life, you know? So I definitely drove that into their minds, you know, that it's different.
And you've mentored a lot of young men too, like in terms of your career with, and so one of your visions with what you do from the workforce development piece is you go into the high schools and help develop those skills. So how do you see that for your business, you know, moving forward to move that through that shift?
So for me, one of the biggest things, since I do work with a lot of young people, I work with, a lot of Latino students, a lot of African-American students. My biggest thing for me is to show them that education, one, is very important. When you work with kids that sometimes come from, you know, places or have not been shown really that or taught that they can go to school, that they can go to college, that it's possible for them to do it, it's trying to change their mindset that that's possible. And also that you don't have to, you know, settle. You don't have to settle for what people tell you. If you have a dream, then go for that dream. You're always going to find people that are going to tell you, you know, you can't do something. Oh, you're not going to amount to anything, you know, and you have to show people that, you know what, that you're capable. And my whole kind of like view of working with these kids and working with women also, you know, that sometimes have a different way of thinking, is that anything is possible, right? And that I want to be able to shape the future of these young girls, the future of these young men, yeah. to be able to be entrepreneurs if they feel like that's what they want to do, that it doesn't have to also be a 9-to-5 typical job, right? That they can become their own boss in this world and have their own things in this world and to kind of shape how they see their future and the future of their families as well.
Living the stellar life. This is the Heather Andrews Show.
What are some of the mindset tips that you teach these individuals?
So mindset tips.
Provide three.
Okay, so first three. All right, so I definitely have to, one of the things with working with youth, some are set in their ways, right? And some are not, right? Some come hungry for information. Some of them you have to kind of chisel away at a lot of things that are going on in their life. You know, so you have to meet that student where they're at, or that person where they're at. You know, so one of the things that I always do is that I don't come in to a session with them thinking that I know everything about them and that I have their life figured out. No, I don't. I listen to them. That is the one number thing that I have to do, is listen to their story, listen to what it is that's holding them back, you know, and then I take their story and I flip it. I show them the strengths that they have, because they have focused so much on their weaknesses or what's lacking in their life that they don't see that there is actually strength in some of the things that they have done, things that they have accomplished, and that even coming to me is a strength in itself, you know. So that's the second thing, is that I take and I flip their story to see the positive in it, because sometimes we're always like, oh, woe is me and this is happening to me, but we never realize that there's some really good things that are happening in our lives. And then I actually highlight, the last thing that I usually do is I highlight what their strengths are, and I use that to catapult them into another level. They never think that maybe because they have a love of writing that they can become a writer. They think or that if their love of working with hands and looking at different avenues to be able to work with them, to work with their hands, or if they wanted to, you know, mentor other kids, look for places for them to be able to mentor kids, you know. So it's working where they're at, taking, you know, their story and flipping into the positive, and then looking for those things that they kind of want to do.
Yeah. And from that perspective of self-worth, self-esteem, confidence, how do you move the kids through that if they have, if they feel that they don't, if they're not worthy enough, or they're comparing themselves to other kids within that high school?
Okay.
And they know, and they're working hard, and they know that they're doing good, but they still have that view that they're not good enough to achieve the things that they want in their life. So how do you shift that for the kids?
That's always a tough part, right? Because even for us adults, that's hard, right? It's hard for us adults to even do that. Imagine a very impressionable young person that might sometimes not have the best team of people in their circle that's going to kind of catapult them into the next phase of their life, right?
Yeah.
However, what I usually do is that I like to make sure that they keep like either a journal or a goal planner or something that we can see physically what they are chiseling away at, right?
Okay.
Because if you don't see what you're chiseling away at every single day, then you're kind of thinking that you're just kind of going through the motions of life and, you know, and nothing's really happening. But when you see through a journal that you keep, or through a goal planner, like that you're chiseling away at your actual schedule every single day, then they start seeing that there is some progress. I also have to tell them and remind them that, you know, Rome was not built in a day, right? And so definitely things take time, and taking time, it also is about shifting the way you see things, yes. You know, especially nowadays with social media, where we have, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all of these things where kids compare each other, or adults even compare each other. You know, it's a good thing to have these avenues for different reasons. However, it can also be really bad for a person, because you always think like, oh, well, look at so-and-so. So-and-so is doing so much better than I am. But I also have to remind people and remind my students and remind the women that I work with that perception is everything, and people can make themselves look really great on Facebook and on Instagram. And really, it's just a persona, you know, that sometimes people are putting, you know, and that they have to keep focused in what their life is, because they have a particular story, and their story is going to be different than the person next to them. So, you know, I have to always bring them back and to keep them in their, you know, perspective of who they are and where they want to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And that's why it was something near and dear to my heart. And I wanted to hear from the expert viewpoint, because I'm writing in a book right now, and I'm creating my own book actually that'll launch later this year. And it's interesting because I look back and I think, what have I really done in this year? And my friend said to me yesterday, did you journal it out? I'm like, no.
It's so important.
So I'm sitting here laughing because I'm like, oh my, yeah, I didn't do that.
Yes, no, it's so important to write things down. I keep a planner myself, and I grab it every single day, you know, and there are days that I have better than others, right? Where I chisel away at every single thing that I have on that list. But then there are days that I don't, and I'm not hard on myself. I've learned not to be hard on myself. I used to be, right? But now I'm not. I say, okay, well, you know what? I've accomplished this and this and this, but I didn't do this. Let's move this to the next day. And I'm not so hard on myself. But writing things down, well, especially for me, at least I don't know if it's a generational thing too, where I have to see things. it could be, but I think it's so different when you visualize things and you see what you've accomplished, you know. So definitely, you know, one of my dreams was, you know, being in a book as well. And I have that opportunity this year to be able to do that too. So I'm really excited about that.
Writing for you is part of your business. So, and I know that you have written in other media, articles, blogs. Would you like to take us through a little bit of that?
Yes, I would. So it's interesting because I've always had a love for poetry ever since I was a teenager. And I used to write as a teenager, but back then I never thought of keeping anything. And I wish I would have kept my, you know, poetry from back when I was like 13 and 14, because I would have definitely seen probably my development, you know. But definitely it did become a passion. It always became a passion of mine. And I love to write. I noticed that I started first with poetry, and I have been published. I was published in an anthology. It was the first Midwest anthology here. With a group of women, and I have two poems that are specifically inside of that book, which I'm really, really, really happy about. That was the first time that I was officially published, and I would have never thought in a million years that here's this, you know, Puerto Rican girl that was raised by, you know, two people from, you know, the country, that was going to be published in an actual anthology, you know. So that is one of my biggest accomplishments. The other things that I'm really, really proud of, and it took some time for me to also kind of develop my writing, not only just develop my writing, because I went from writing poetry to then writing and being a content writer for a website. So I definitely did that for a year, and that pushed me even more, because that's a different type of writing. Poetry is one thing, but writing, content writing, when you're writing about specific, you know, things that are going on in the world, and you're giving your opinion, and you know, and it has to be in the content also of what kind of the website is about. That's very challenging, you know. But I'm glad I did it. I'm really happy that my work is still out there in the cyber world. And I'm, you know, excited that I continue to do it. I also have my own blog that I, you know, have continue to write in, because that's another part of my development of writing. Because I really do see myself as not only, you know, I love what I do of working and helping people, because that's just who I am. I like to do that. I like to help people to get from one point to the next. But I also see myself as an author and a writer, and writing my own books, not, you know, not just being part of other projects, but also having my own book, because I really feel like I have a story to tell, and for an audience that I'd like to kind of like hone into. So definitely, writing is a huge passion for me. Yeah. And it's also kind of healing. It's been a healing thing for me as well.
Yes, absolutely. I could not agree more about writing and how it is such a healing piece. I never thought of myself as a writer. And I still don't, but I have my publishing company and I write. So, and that's where I have found the power of putting pen to paper or yes. fingertips to the keyboard on the computer.
Yes, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to be able to get those words that are either in your heart or in your head and get them out on paper or on, you know, keyboard, like you say, you know, definitely. It's very important. I also feel that it's very important because it tells your story, right? Yes. And if you don't tell your story, someone else will come and tell your story and it's not even your story, you know? And if we don't tell our stories, one, our children won't hear our stories, our grandchildren won't hear our stories, and the generations to come will not hear our stories, you know, and that's really important for who we are as people, who we are as women, who we are culturally. That's really important.
The world is a shifting place too. So how we were raised is very different than how our children are being raised.
Yes, that is 100% true.
And when I look back on pictures that I've got in photo albums, my kids look through them and go, tell us more, Mom, about the time that you were in Saudi Arabia. Tell us more, Mom, about your trip to Egypt. Tell us more, Mom, about this or that. How did you meet our dad in the middle of the Saudi Arabia yes. desert when he was an American military guy? Those are so important. So important.
Yes, and definitely. They are important.
They also become those historical pieces. Our grandparents, they pass, and if that's not passed down through generations and we're not leaving those legacies, it has impact because people want to know where they came from.
That is true. That is true. Which is interesting because that's exactly what I'm doing now. I'm trying to piece together some things when, you know, my parents were alive. You know, my parents just passed away 2 years ago. And so, you know, telling those stories and sharing those stories with my children and, you know, finding out more stories about my grandparents when they were alive. And, you know, it's important. I think it's important for our children. It's important for the generations to come, but it's also important for us to understand that, you know, we are a part of something else.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Perfect. So where can people find you on social media, Awilda?
Okay, so you can find me various ways. I actually have an Instagram, which I'm very, very, very active on. And it's Awilda, AWILDAGR. So it's Awilda GR. You can also find me on Twitter under Awilda, AWILDA _GR. So those are two things that I do very actively. My blog, you can also find, and it's actually Awilda Gonzalez Reyes. So I'm going to spell that out. It's www.awildagonzalezreyes. wilda.wordpress.com. So those are some of the places where you can find me. And if somebody would like to reach out to me by email, you can email me at awildagr@awildagr.com. So it's awildagr@awildagr.com.
Awesome. I love how you just put the GR behind it. It makes it very simple for sure.
Yes, very simple.
So as we wrap up here today, what are sort of your top three takeaways for our audience and our listeners that how they can start to redefine their life today? Something that they can take away and run with and implement in the minute that's simple and life-changing.
Okay, so definitely your past does not define your future. That's number one. A lot of things happen in our lives, and sometimes they're good things and sometimes they're bad things. And we cannot let the bad things define the rest of our lives. We have to work through those bad things in order to move forward in a positive motion. That's number one. Number two, it's never too late. It's never, never too late. Age is just a number if you allow it to be. If you're constantly in this mindset that, oh my God, I'm getting old, then you know what? You're going to get old, right? So definitely you have to change your mindset that you can accomplish what you have been wanting to do for the last 20 years. You still have time to do that, and it's never too late to follow your dreams. And then be open to change. Because sometimes for us, we're that are a little bit wiser, I like to call it wiser, or a yelder, a young elder, then definitely we have to be open to change. So some things, you know, we have to do learning. We have to be open to different mindsets. We have to be open to ideas that other people have and kind of run with that. So those would be the top three for me.
I love those. Those are so good. I found that as I've been doing, building my own business and moving from the work environment into entrepreneurship, I always say that there should be entrepreneurship university.
The lessons
that we all have to learn are so crucial. But I find that for myself, one of the things that has really come to hit the nail on the head sort of was confidence versus self-worth, self-esteem.
Yes.
And just from the perspective of, we can be confident in our role because we know what we're doing and there's no blocks there. But yes, when you move into something new or you go to change, there's all this stuff that kind of sets you off on fire. Like, I can't do this. This is going to be so hard.
Yep.
And one of the things for me I have found is one of the shifts was trust the process. The universe has your back. Be open to the opportunities that come and know that you're worthy and deserving and open to be receiving of what is coming.
Yes, I love those.
Yeah. So that's been my biggest learning curve in the last 3 years since I've embarked on opening my own business and taking it to the next level and being that inspirational sort that I want to help others know that they're not alone through all of the modalities of the publishing company. So that it's very, very important.
Yes, that's great.
So thank you very much, Wilda, for joining us today. And we look forward to having more, seeing all your work and all of the great things that you're going to do in the world and all the people that you're going to inspire in the generations to come. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. And once again, We're here helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, the resilience for better relationships. And we will see you next time. Until then, go out and live your stellar life.
Thanks for listening to The Heather Andrews Show. For more exclusive content, visit heatherandrews.press. Until next time, stay focused and live the stellar life you are meant to live by following it through.